Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Today, we're going to move from the salutation of 2 Corinthians into the opening subject that Paul deals with in this epistle, and we'll begin to understand some of the things for which he is writing, some of the reasons for which he is writing this epistle to the church in Corinth. The salutation we've already looked at, except for maybe just one or two details that we'll finish up and move on. But the salutation, a very standard one in the epistles of Paul, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We left off talking about that benediction on the broadcast yesterday. Grace to you, Paul says, and peace. It's a combined prayer and declaration. Paul is praying for God's grace to flow to them, to continue to flow to them. It obviously had. They couldn't be Christians if God's grace had not come to them. But for God's grace to continue to flow to them, and the results of that grace to continue to envelope them, peace to you. Peace is the result of our hearts being cleansed of sin and our relationship with God being restored that was broken because of our sinful rebellion against Him. But he also says that this grace and peace comes from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have something to say about that after I welcome you to this Tuesday, August 23, Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we cannot continue teaching God's Word on this station if we don't receive financial support from radio listeners just like you. Please give that prayerful consideration. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, which came to you initially and quickened you to life, brought you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified you before the judgment bar of God, placed you in Christ Jesus, the God-appointed substitute for sinners who bore the wrath of God upon the cross, that those who trust in Him might be spared the wrath of God and might have a right relationship with God, a right relationship which sinners can never have without the grace of God. Sinners can never have without the work of Jesus Christ. Sinners can never have unless someone else bears their penalty, as Christ did upon the cross, unless someone else imputes perfect righteousness to them, because that's what God requires, to have a right relationship with Him. But nobody ever achieved that except Jesus Christ. And so we have to be in Christ in order to receive these blessings, and we have to be in Christ in order to be rightly related to God. And when we're rightly related to God, then the blessings and benefits of that relationship begin to flow. And one of the greatest of these is peace. Peace with God. Instead of enmity with God, peace with God. Instead of being hostile toward God, we are embraced by the love of God and love Him in return. I hope you know what I'm talking about by experience in your own soul, by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, by your embrace of the promises of God. I hope you know what I'm talking about, the peace of God. But notice this part, that this grace and peace come from where? You say, well, they come from God, of course. Yes, but specifically, what does Paul say? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if grace comes from God, and it certainly does, and it comes from the Father and from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that tell us about Jesus Christ? It tells us that He is God. If He can bestow grace, He's as much God as the Father is God. If He can grant peace, then He's as much God as the Father is God. And indeed, He is. The Bible teaches that over and over and over. Most of the time, in passing references like this that people might miss if they're not paying close attention, but it's taught over and over and over again. Every now and then somebody will say, where do you find the doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible? And they may be asking that question because they've been approached by, perhaps by Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity of Christ and deny the doctrine of the Trinity, but they're certainly not the only ones that do. There are others who do that as well. But they seem to be the most aggressive in many ways about this, and they will often challenge Christians. Where do you find the doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible? Where do you find the word Trinity in the Bible? That's a more common question. And the answer to that question is nowhere. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. Question, does that mean that the doctrine of the Trinity is not taught in the Bible? Answer, no, it doesn't mean that. That's the name that's been given to it, but that's not a name, not a term that you're going to find in the Bible. But the definition of that term Trinity, the description of what that term Trinity is talking about is found in the Bible many places, and the greatest number of them don't talk about the Trinity as much as they talk about the deity of Christ. You will find some references that also include the Holy Spirit, which makes it three, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But you will find an amazing number of references to Jesus Christ, which if you think through what is said, you can only draw one accurate conclusion, namely that Jesus Christ is God. And this is one of them. In the benediction, in passing almost, but think about what's said. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you understand what grace is, this unmerited favor that comes to us from God, it is an exercise of divine power in our lives. That's what grace is. Grace that, as we said earlier, makes dead people alive, makes dead souls alive. This grace, it comes from God. It can only come from God. No, you don't read anywhere in the Bible, grace to you from Gabriel, grace to you from some other angel. You don't read that in the Bible anywhere. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is not an archangel. Jesus is not the highest angel. Jesus is not the first created being. The God who is uncreated created Jesus, or created the Son first, and thereafter created other beings that now exist in this universe. But you don't find that kind of language. You don't find Gabriel or Michael bestowing grace. You don't find Gabriel or Michael able to create peace. Now, they might say, peace to you, peace be with you, but they're not going to be able to create or bestow it in the same way that God can. And here we have grace to you and peace from God our Father. Everybody understands who that is. Even if you don't believe in the Trinity, you understand that God is referred to in the Bible as Father. And so this reference to grace coming from God the Father, grace and peace coming from God the Father, means that it's the grace that comes from God. But keep reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ equally as it comes from the Father. What can that mean? What can that mean? Except that our Lord Jesus Christ is God as much as the Father. God the Father is God. That's what it means. But that brings us to the end of our consideration of the salutation, and we move now into the first subject matter discussed in the body of the epistle, and here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Comfort in suffering. You say, that's a rather strange subject with which to begin an epistle, the body of the epistle, the message of the epistle. That's what I mean by beginning in this sense. Obviously, the salutation and the benediction are the beginning, but that's the formal beginning. But this is the beginning of the contents of the epistle. We all understand when we write a letter, we write the date, and we write the inside address, and we write the actual address, dear so-and-so, after we have listed the person and their address above it, if it's a formal letter in the style of business letters, in the customary style of letters in our day. And then we come to the contents. What is the beginning of the letter? Is it the date when we write August 23, 2022, is that the beginning of the letter? When we write the inside address, Mr. John Smith, 2704 Johnson Avenue, Birmingham, Alabama, whatever the zip code may be. Dear Mr. Johnson, or dear Joe, dear John, whatever I've said, I've forgotten. Is that the beginning of the letter, or is the beginning when we say, I'm writing to you because I need to address this, I need to address that. And we could very well call that the beginning of the letter, and that's what I'm saying here. Here's the beginning. Here's the beginning of the contents. And the opening topic is suffering. Strange that he'd start with that, but not so strange, and we'll have to explain that more fully tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.